Joshua chapter number 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 9. We'll read them responsively. I'll read verse 1 and then you join with me on every other verse. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And we'll stop at verse 9. We'll do every other verse beginning right at verse 1. Ready? Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Join with me as well in verse 9, please. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You may be seated. We're continuing our series on portraits of grace, and today's lesson is on the life of Joshua. And the theme of the lesson is grace to go on, grace to go on. And we'll learn in this lesson, among other things, that God's grace helps us to press forward. And that is something that we ought to be aspiring to in our Christian life, is moving forward, and that happens by the grace of God. Now, as I'm sure all of us know, there are times in our life where we have a battle that comes into our life, and the battle boils down to this, the flesh and the spirit, Which one are we going to yield to? Are we going to yield to that old nature that we call the flesh, or are we going to yield to the Spirit of God who is indwelling us as believers? Now, when you got saved, we all know this, at least I want to repeat it again. When you got saved, God's Spirit took up residence in our lives. And so your body is the temple or the tabernacle. It's the house of the Holy Ghost. And so everybody in here today that's saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. And we have that great privilege to have God's Spirit with us. And so God is directing us for His perfect will. God doesn't want us to yield to the flesh. God has a will and a purpose for your life and my life. And that's what He's trying to do. He's trying to guide us and help us to move forward. Now, everyone here today will experience times in our life where we are doubting. Maybe we are weary of the battle, or maybe even a bit of discouragement can come into our life. And so these are things that are challenges to us to move forward. There is no such thing as super Christian who never faces a problem, who never faces a difficulty. There isn't one. There isn't one like that. Every one of us face challenges, and every one of us face difficulties. Those come into our life. Now, this text that we began reading a few moments ago, however, it brings us to a time of transition. Who sees right away in verse number 1 why it's a time of transition in verse number 1. What do you see there that points to a time of transition? Just shout it out if you know the answer. Death of Moses. Death of Moses. And so they've had one leader now for over 40 years. Okay? Anytime you have someone who's leading you for that amount of time, and then that leader passes away, well, it's a time of transition. It can be a very challenging time. It could be even maybe in a church that has a pastor for 40 years, and then that pastor steps down, or maybe doesn't go into retirement, but just feels like, okay, time for the next pastor to come in, or whatever, however God leads. I'm just using an illustration that it is definitely a time of transition. It's a time of, it could be a very exciting time, but it could be a very challenging time, okay? And that's what we see here in Joshua chapter number 1 as well. There was a crossroads. There was some wondering, what's going to happen now? Joshua's coming in. Moses has already gone. He's no longer with us. What's going to happen? Now, maybe all of us could relate in a small way to what's happening here, that you came to a time in your life where it's a crossroads. Something is changing in your life. Something different has come about. Maybe you knew it was coming, or maybe you didn't know it was coming. Either way, we've all been there, or we'll all find ourselves there maybe once again. Again, the key to all of it can really come down to our theme even once again, and that is trusting God. Trusting God. So it matters not the transitional time that you or I might be in. Here's the blessedness of all of it. God was faithful to the nation of Israel in Joshua chapter 1. God will be faithful in your life, in your time of transition, or in your time of not knowing which way to go. Trust God, wait on the Lord, and know that He will do what is right for your life. So God always, we've been talking about this now, and so, but repetition is the key to learning. God always knows what's ahead. God always knows what's ahead. And that's a blessing and something that we can trust in. So as we look at Joshua's life, we'll get through as much of it as we can today. We might finish this lesson today. But as we look through Joshua's life, we're going to learn a little bit more about God's grace and how we can go on in the Christian life, even under duress, even under difficulty, even under, how about this, even under when everything is going right. How many of you recognize that when everything is going right, it's also a challenging time? Yeah, you know why? Because we're naturally prone to, when everything is going right, we let our guard down. Or maybe we're not as vigilant as we ought to be, because everything's going right. So that can also be a challenging time. So let's jump into this, and we'll see three aspects of God's grace that will give us strength to go on for Him. Number one, we see in our outline that we need to remember God's calling. Remember God's calling. Now, the devil is real. He is a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. And he's always trying to put doubts in our mind. He's always trying to cause us to doubt. Now, again, sometimes doubt comes on unexpectedly. But think about this. When we got saved, when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God gave us a brand new purpose for living. You know, the Bible says of those who are without Christ that they are of their father, the devil, and the lust of their father they will do. That's what it says about those that are without Christ. But you know, the Bible says that those that are with Christ, that we have been created to bring honor and glory to God. And we have the opportunity to bring honor and glory to God because of what God has done for us. I mean, truly, what a different purpose to be of our father, the devil, and the lust of our father that we will do, the devil. Or we can bring honor and glory to God. Talk about a new purpose. Talk about a new reason to be excited, to be alive. When we got saved, everything changed about our life. And so despite the fact that God has an amazing plan for each of us, different challenges can come our way. That's what we see in the life of Joshua. Here's a very challenging time. Letter A, underneath this number one, is a difficult time. A difficult time. Look at the first few words. We kind of talked about it already. The first few words of verse 1, Joshua 1, is where we're at today. Joshua chapter number 1 in the Old Testament. The first verse, the first few words says, "Now after the death of Moses." Okay, this is now a difficult time. Their leader, as I said, of 40 years is gone. Think about what happened during the time of Moses. We have the burning bush event, right? Remember that event? The bush that was burning that never burnt. And God spoke from the burning bush directly to Moses. Think about the, how about this? How about when the nation of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt and God used 10 what? Plagues. Now, there were 10 commandments. Good answer, too. I didn't give enough answer. The 10 plagues came, and you know who was leading the people then? Moses. I mean, think about all that happened under the leadership of Moses. How about this? Not only did those 10 plagues come, but after that 10th plague, the nation of Israel walked out of Egypt. They walked through the they walked across the parted Red Sea on dry ground. Who was leading them? Moses. I mean, Moses' resume is pretty good, you know. God spoke to him from a burning bush. God used him to bring ten plagues. God used him to lead the people out of Egypt. And on it goes. Then those 10 commandments that were mentioned a moment ago. Turn in your Bible quickly to Exodus chapter 34. Back a couple of books. Exodus chapter 34. This is all under the leadership of Moses. So we're just giving a little bit of a background here to realize what exactly Joshua is coming into. Exodus 34 verse 28 says, "And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables of the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. And when it came to pass when who came down? Moses." Wow. What an amazing event on Mount Sinai. "Hey, Moses, commandment 1, write it down," right? Amazing. "And the Lord all did all of this from the hand of Moses." And we see that in verse number 29, that he had those two tables of testimony and took them down and so forth. You know, so here all of this is under Moses. Now, Joshua knew about all of these things. Joshua had witnessed these things as well. But this wasn't supposed to be something that, okay, Joshua, you're coming on the scene now. You have to do a better job than Moses. That's not it at all. That's not it at all. You see, here's something I wrote in my notes. The past is there to learn from, but not live in. The past is there to learn from, but not live in. You know what? That also comes into play when we had success in our past. You know, many times we can think about the good old days when we first got saved and God was doing this, 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 and this. And we can always talk about the past in a good sense. But in a way, we're not supposed to live in the past. We're supposed to learn from it, maybe rejoice about it. But right now, God has something special for you. God has something special for us. And God has something special for Joshua. And even though Moses had all of these things on his list, Joshua was ready for the task at hand. God wants us to be grateful for the past, but not live in the past. Today, your past may have victory. Your past may have defeat. But we cannot let, with God's help, again, the grace of God, we cannot let our past determine our present, and we cannot let our past determine our future. You know what? Many of God's children live that way. And God doesn't want me to live that way. God doesn't want you to live that way. Learn from it, but don't let it affect you. No, let's put the past aside, as Joshua learned, and keep moving forward. So it's a difficult time. But letter B, not only do we see a difficult time, but we see letter B, a dedicated man. A dedicated man. Look what it says in verse 1 at the end of the verse. The middle of the verse says, "The Lord spake unto who?" Who? Joshua. Are you there? Joshua. "The Lord spake unto Joshua." God chose a person to lead the Israelites. Not a committee, not a machine. When God wants to move his agenda forward, God has men and women who are faithful, who God wants to do something powerful through. It may be in your book, or you would turn in your Bible to Psalm 75, please. Psalm 75. Psalm 75, verse number 6. "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, for promotion. Verse 7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Joshua coming on the scene was not Joshua's plan. This was God's plan. The Lord spake unto Joshua. But I will say this. I'm a firm believer that Joshua had been, maybe in the background, Joshua had been preparing. Joshua had been watching. God had been preparing Joshua for this time. And in fact, God had already used Joshua prior to this. Turn in your Bible to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. The grace of God to move forward. That's what we're talking about in the Sunday school hour. The grace of God to move forward. Look at Exodus 17 as well. Joshua had already proven himself in one way, and I'm sure in others. The point is this, God did not call someone to be the leader of the people of Israel who was just sitting around doing nothing. I look at this, what I'm about to read to you, and I believe Joshua was chosen because Joshua was already involved in the work of the Lord. He wasn't aspiring to be number one in command, because that's what he's about to be. He's about to be the leader of millions of people. Can you believe that? What a task. Okay, Joshua, you're up. Moses is dead, you're up. Wow. No, he wasn't just sitting around watching everything happen. I believe Joshua was already a servant of the Lord. We see that in Exodus 17. Are you there? Look at verse number 9 with me, please. And Moses said unto who? Joshua. Joshua. Choose us out men and go out. And what's the next word? Fight. So he's a soldier. Go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So, what's the next word? Joshua did as Moses had said to him. So here we see right away Joshua is a man of character and that he followed the instructions of his leader. Joshua, get ready. Tomorrow you're going to fight Amalek. I'm going up on the hill, and we're going to fight Amalek, and God's going to give us the victory. And Joshua did that. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It's a great story to read for another time. All I wanted to point out there was, from God's word, that Joshua followed the instructions of the Lord. He was a dedicated man. He was a man who was already doing what God wanted him to do. You know what, Masood? There's a class downstairs for your daughter. If she would like to go be with the kids, would she like that? Okay, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I just want you to know that. The ushers can take you right here. There you go. I think she would really enjoy that. Otherwise, she can come up here and enjoy this too. So Joshua was someone who was already doing what God wanted him to do by following his leader. His leader was Moses. Think about other people in the Bible that God used to accomplish something for his glory. And I don't know that any of them were idle. You know what it means to be idle? I-D-L-E, not I-D-O-L, but I-D-L-E. Okay, to be idle means to be sitting still, to not be moving. In this case, it means that someone who isn't doing anything for God, they're just sitting around doing nothing. And Joshua wasn't like that. He was involved. Think about other people that God used. God used, we talked about him a few weeks ago, a man by the name of Noah. Remember? We talked about Noah. What was Noah doing before God called him? Don't think too deep. Noah blank with God. He walked with God. He walked with God. I mean, Noah wasn't, he didn't have the Bible, but like we have, but he was actively trying to grow in grace, and God used him. How about Joseph? Joseph, we've been talking about him on Wednesday nights. Joseph, I mean, a servant of the Lord. I mean, you know, he was lied about and all the, and I won't re-go into that, but Joseph was doing something. How about Moses? Moses was tending the flocks.
We talked about him a little bit, for his father-in-law. And Moses was doing something. David, a shepherd boy. Elisha, plowing the field. Peter, James, and John, fishing. And when God called them to be fishers of men. Saul and Barnabas, they were serving in the local church there before God called them out. The point is this, that Joshua was not someone who wasn't active. He wasn't idle. No, he was doing something for God, and God saw that in him. You know what I wonder about you, and I wonder about me? What is it that God wants us to do? Well, I don't have a title. You don't have to have a title to do something for God. Think about this. 12 men went to spy on Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Who were the 2 that brought back a good report? Joshua and Caleb. Joshua, one of the 2, and now he's going to be mightily used of the Lord. We see that in the book of Numbers, that he was mightily used of the Lord and he brought back a good report. Numbers 14, 8 and 9. We won't turn there. In other words, let's find a way as the children of God of what we can do to serve him. What can we do to serve him? Let's find a way. There's got to be a way we can all serve him. Matthew 23, if you go there quickly in your Bible. Matthew 23 and verse number 12. Moving forward. By God's grace, looking at the life of Joshua. Matthew 23, verse 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. It means put down. We don't have to pump ourselves up. No. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Matthew 23, 11 and 12. So it's a very difficult time in the history of Israel. It's a dedicated man, letter B, and letter C, we see a directed purpose. A directed purpose. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1 and look at verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So God calls Joshua and gives him specific orders. Joshua, here's what you're going to do. You're going to lead the people of Israel into the land that I've already given them. You know what? That's a very impactful statement right there, if you'll take note of it. Unto the land which I do give to them. So the land of Canaan was already promised before they even went over the Jordan River and went into Canaan. God said, you're going to lead the people into a land that I've already promised to give him. Do you know this to be true? God's promises always come true. God's word always is fulfilled. Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And so that's not part of the lesson today, but I've always been challenged by that verse. That this is a land that I'm giving them. So this is Joshua's purpose. Lead Israel to Canaan. You know, God has given us a purpose too. We talked a little bit about it earlier. You know what? God has given us as children of him a purpose. And one of those purposes that God has given us is to be people who spread the gospel. Spread the gospel. Never stop sharing the truth that Jesus saves. This is part of our responsibility. This is part of the task that God has given us. And it's not a task, really, if you think about it. It's a great joy that we have the privilege to spread the gospel here locally, around Canada and around the world. We are to claim our world for Christ. You know, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We need a lot of work in Canada, don't we? You know what we need in Canada the most? The gospel. What will help in Ottawa is the gospel. What will help in Montreal is the gospel. What will help in Vancouver? The gospel. What will help in small town communities all over the breadbasket in the central part of our country or in the prairies? The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. It changes lives. The gospel is what we need. And the purpose of being saved isn't to sit on the sidelines. The purpose of being saved is to be engaged in the sharing of the gospel. And so this is a directed purpose. Joshua, you're going to lead the people now. You're going over the river. Not through the woods to grandma's house. You're going over the river and you're going into Canaan, into a land that I've already promised. So, number one is remember God's calling. Number two, with God's calling, we must remember God's provision. God's provision. How can I do what God wants me to do? How can I give more to missions? How can I witness to my coworker? How can I fill in the blank? How can it happen? Well, God doesn't ask us to do something that He doesn't equip us to do. God doesn't command us to do something and then say, figure it out. I gave you the commandment, now you figure out how to get it done. That's not God. Look at verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Letter A is the provision of the land. The provision of the land. That's a pretty powerful statement there. This land, let's go back, I want you to see something in the book of Genesis. Go back with me, please, to Genesis chapter 13. This is not a small parcel of land. God has promised Joshua. God has promised the nation of Israel. Look at Genesis chapter 13. God had already promised this land to Abraham. Look at verse 15 of Genesis 13. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. God said, I've given you all of this land. This was promised to Abraham back in Genesis chapter number 13. Now in the book of Joshua chapter number 1, Joshua is just being told what the people were already told and what they were already promised. Now you would think this is a big parcel of land, some 300,000 square miles. That's a big piece of land. But you know what? I didn't necessarily draw it up on a map, but I was reading that unfortunately the people of Israel in the Bible time claimed only 10% of the land that God had promised them. God promised them all of it. They claimed 10%. I began to think about that. How many of God's promises do we have available to us that are for us, but we don't claim them? Quickly, I want you to go with me on a little bit of a journey here through the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. Verse number 21. Matthew 21, 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall have them. This is a promise of God. God told the nation of Israel, I've given you all of this land. They claim 10% of it. God is telling us today in Matthew 21 that if we can pray believing, ask in prayer believing, we shall receive. And I think that's part of our problem. That's part of my problem. That many times we pray, but in the back of our mind, while we're praying it, we're thinking, this is impossible. But nothing is impossible with the Lord. Nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything but fail. Here's the promise. Let's claim this promise. Turn over to John 14, 14. John 14, 14. Many of us know these promises. The question is, do we exercise the faith to claim them? Do we exercise the faith to claim them? They're there for us. John 14, 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Hey, I believe God can do miracles right now. God can do miracles today. God can do miracles that we know not of. If we shall ask anything in God's name, He will do it according to God's will. God can do miracles. God is, and I've been praying that way. I've been praying and I've been convicted about that. God, do a miracle. Do a miracle. Do a miracle. We're seeking that for the ministry here. We're seeking that for the ministry abroad. Miracles. Provision of the land. What is it that God has provided for you? What is it that God has provided for me that I have yet to claim? Claim the promises of God for yourself. Claim the promises of God for you. Letter B. Not only the provision of the land, this is really encouraging. The provision of protection. The provision of protection. Notice what it says in the beginning of verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Do you grasp that? Is that sinking in? You won't have anyone who's more powerful than you. Why? Not because of Joshua's bulging muscles. No, because of God's power. Because of God's power. What do we have? What do we have at our disposal today? We have God's power available to us. If God be for us, Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? We have that power available to us today. No, we have that protection available to us today. Think about whatever it is that is difficult right now in your life. Whatever it is right now that is kind of an overwhelming issue or concern or problem, a challenge that God has allowed into your life, be encouraged in this way. These are verses that I quote regularly. So I don't want to say forgive me, but because they're verses that I want in my head and they're verses that I want in your head all the time. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Where is your confidence today? My confidence must be in the Lord. My confidence must be in our God. He's never failed. My confidence is not in me. My confidence is not in my accomplishments. My confidence is not in the past. My confidence is in the Word of God, the God of the Bible. He's never failed. And He told Joshua, no man will be able to stand against thee all the days of thy life. Church, let me encourage you. As we are in the center of God's will, doing what God wants us to do to the best of our knowledge, doing what God wants us to do, we can have victory. Now, when we turn our backs on the will of God and head our own way, I guarantee you, victory isn't coming. Now, I tell you what will come. Praise the Lord. Chastening will come. If you're saved, God is going to give you a spanking. Yes, that's what it's called. Chastening. He's going to discipline me. He's going to discipline you. If we are not following His will. Why? Because God loves you. God would, no parent would let their child just continually do wrong, do wrong, do wrong, do wrong, do wrong, do wrong, and put themselves in harmful situations if they truly love them. Now, hey, every child I learned this because of me, but I have three kids. Every child has a will. They can go against my teaching, or they can fall in line with my teaching from the Word of God. But they have a will. I have one of those too. You have one of those too. And many of them are strong in that we don't want to give in to what God has for us at times. We've all been there. But the blessedness of this is when we yield to this book right here, then we are promised that we can do anything but fail. Why? Because of God's grace to move on, to move forward. That's what we see here in Joshua's life. A provision of not only the land, but a provision of God's protection. One more under this point. Letter C. It's in verse number 5, and it's really special. I would underline it. I would circle it. It's the provision of God's presence. Joshua, I want you to know something. I will be with you just like I was with Moses. I will be with you just like I was with Moses. You see it there in verse 5? As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. You think Joshua and Moses are more important to God than we are? No. Joshua and Moses are not more important to God than we are. That's a promise we can claim. As God was with Moses, as God was with Joshua, God will be with me. God will be with you. The sovereign God of the universe never fails. The sovereign God of the universe. I was speaking this morning at a church out at Coquitlam area, filling in for Pastor Ehlert. And we were speaking in the Sunday school lesson about the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that when Jesus was tempted there, and we were looking in Luke's account of it, but it's also in Matthew, that three times he was tempted over a span of 40 days, and he hadn't had anything to eat. And we were talking about victory in our life, how we can have victory. You know, wins and losses, they keep track of wins and losses. In every sport, you have the win and loss record. And I guess for hockey, we have to throw in those ties, right? But they keep those. They keep those forever. I mean, you could look up and you could look at whatever your favorite team is, and you could find out pretty quickly on the internet today how many wins and losses for the entire franchise. I'm talking about since the franchise started playing. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago, they have these records. This many wins, this many losses. Anytime you have more wins than losses, it's kind of a bonus. Some franchises have more losses than wins. That's not really a good thing. Okay? That's not the object. The object is to have more wins than losses. That means you're over 500. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that whole thing right now. Okay? But I didn't go into that far into it this morning, but I began to think about it while I was speaking, that God's record for all eternity, it's perfect. He has all wins and no losses. He's never been defeated one time. Think about that. For all eternity, if we could somehow keep track of everything, how they keep track of games and so forth, our God. Now this God is not impersonal. God is very personal. You know what I mean by that? God wants us to know Him. He's personal. You know, in many religions, the God of that religion is not personal at all. Small g. There's only one God. But there are many religions that have a God, small g, and He's very impersonal. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is very personal, and He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him, and He wants to be with you, and He wants to be your protector, as we looked at. He wants to be that provider. He wants to not only provide heaven for us, and He has provided heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ, but He wants to give you a life here before heaven, a productive life, a happy, a joyful life. The Bible even says a successful life in Joshua 1:8. This is all available and attainable through our relationship with God. And God wants that relationship. That's why He gave us a Bible. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. That's why He gave us a church to come to. This is the God who is telling Joshua, hey, Joshua, don't worry about it. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Just like I was with Moses speaking out of the burning bush. Just like I had those 10 plagues. Just like I had him march out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And just like I gave him manna all the time and quail and took care of everything. Just like I did all that, guess what, Joshua? I can do the same for you. And even more. That's your God if you're saved. That's my God. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I'm not asking you to stand up and tell me if you do or not, but something that you ought to be thinking about right now. It's the 23rd day of February 2020, and every day that I wake up in the morning, it's a gift. It's a gift. When I go to bed at night, I'm not guaranteed I'm going to wake up in the morning. I don't mean to be morbid, but that's the truth, isn't it? God gives me life, and God gives you life. God also wants to give everybody eternal life. Eternal life comes in the same thing that we've been talking about here in these lessons. It comes by grace. Grace. So what you have to be prepared for and what I have to be prepared for is death. The way to prepare for death is to see what the Bible says about how to be ready for death. We can get ready for death by examining what the Scripture says about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Oh boy, I tell you, it goes far beyond just getting saved. I mean, that's wonderful, believe me. That's awesome. But you know what? This is an adventure. The Bible says He wants us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's called living the victorious Christian life. It's something I want to do better. I'm not living in victory enough. I need more victory in my life. And how it comes? It comes by having the grace to press on. We'll pick it up next week, and we'll look at the second half of the lesson, Joshua, grace to press on.